Good to see everybody out today. Get your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28, and I'll catch up with you there in a minute. Want to talk to you today a little bit about why not witness. I believe, and most of you heard me say this before, but we're all called, every born-again Christian is called into the ministry of some kind, doing something. Brother Robert sings, writes songs, and sings, and I can't do that. I would love to play the guitar. I always thought if I could play the guitar and sing, I'd be happy, but I probably wouldn't. I'd want to do something else, right? I'm human. We're going to base this today on a message we had last Wednesday. So if you ever want to get part one, just ask the office for our job description. Last Wednesday night, I talked about our job description, and Jesus laid that out in Luke 4, 17 through 19. Well, let's look at that real quick. We'll take a minute. Go to Luke, hold your finger at Matthew 28, and let's see what we're called to do. Luke 4, what did I say?
17
to 19. Yes, sir. Thank you. Starting verse 8, just 18 and 19 were covered. Are you there? What page is that on, somebody?
61.
Jesus talking here, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, if this is Jesus talking, right? This is God in the flesh talking. Well, who's the Spirit of the Lord he's talking about? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit that we all have, if we're born again, all of us have the same Holy Spirit, right? That same Holy Spirit wrote the book. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, I don't want to go into that because I covered that last time, but just kind of a preface, that's our job description, all of us. Because whatever Jesus did, he told the disciples just before he left, he said, "All these things shall you do," and what else? Anybody know?
Greater.
"And even greater things." He said, "I spent all this time teaching you what to do." In other words, there was a critic one time said, called some Christians little Jesuses. Well, we're not Jesus, but we should be little Jesus, okay? We should be an imitator. The Bible says be imitators of God. We're not God, not going to be God. We're not perfect. But we need to monkey see, monkey do, maybe. You know, we've seen what Jesus did. And not only that, he wrote it down for us. I got something else I want to do. I'm studying the book of Isaiah right now. And this is not really part of the lesson, but I want to read it for you. Guess it is. Just a few verses, Isaiah 65. "I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said," this is God speaking, by the way, "here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I stretched out my hands all day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good." Now, the reason I want to share that, then going over to our commission, if you please, where you are, in Matthew chapter 28, is commonly called the Great Commission. A lot of Bibles have that subheading over these verses. Now, Jesus is saying, God said, "I'm stretching out my arms to a rebellious generation, a rebellious people." Don't that describe the world today? Rebelling against God? As most of you know, the pro-abortion people, and what is that women's group, N-O-W?
I call them feminazis.
Well, they are trying to stop Tebow, right? The quarterback won the Heisman Trophy this year. He wanted to say something at the Super Bowl against abortion. And that's wrong, they say. It's wrong for him to say it. It's all right for them to say that abortion's okay. That's what you call a rebellious people. I mean, when our mind is so turned around. It's so backwards to what God said. Now, folks, we've got to stop somehow or another. I don't have a magic answer. I don't have a magic plan. But somehow, we as the born-again Christians have got to stop backing up. It's time that Christians make a stand. Now, I'm not talking about getting up, screaming, hollering. I'm not talking about condemning people. But it's time to make a stand. When you're sitting at a table and somebody says something, you don't have to scream at them. You just let them know you don't really appreciate that. We were so blessed last night. We surprised my next oldest brother with his 70th birthday party. That's scary because he's close to me, or I'm close to him. Man, it just don't seem right that he's 70. Well, he's shared his testimony a little bit there. He got up and witnessed for God. He retired very successfully from the insurance business. His son is now in the insurance business. And his son shared his testimony a little bit. I mean, right, Jen? That turned into, it was great. And Hal got up and talked about, you know, he saw his dad, and it was kind of his idol. He decided real young, I didn't know it, that he was wanting to be in the insurance business. Well, he did. He climbed to the top.
He was too young to start with. He was 19.
Yeah.
And they told him he was too young. He couldn't. So he worked somewhere else for 5 years.
Yeah, he actually wanted to start, and they wouldn't even let him. He was too young. So he went and worked on building modular homes, as a matter of fact. And he said, he described all that like he was totally, this ain't what I want. But he waited, and he climbed the ladder to the top. And he talked about last night, he was making $165,000 a year, and he said never been so miserable in all of his life. Seemed like the more he got, the less he enjoyed it. You ever heard that before? We're chasing the wrong thing. But we think, as humans, I can't talk about you, but most people think, if I get more stuff, everything will be all right. Right? I did. I was caught up in that, man. I thought, you know, I don't chase the Joneses. I'm going to pass them. If you get a big enough mortgage, maybe you can for a little while. I'll never forget our neighbor many, many years ago put in a swimming pool in the backyard in our neighborhood. He was a truck driver also. And I went over and I said, oh, are you chasing the Joneses? He said, I am the Joneses. And he was just joking. But, you know, we've got so turned around. Where is our priorities? One of the things we got turned around is it's okay for people to cuss, but it's not okay for us to talk about God. And that's generally accepted, right? I mean, how many times do you see anybody anymore correct somebody? I mean,
you see
it offends me.
You see it,
they turn their back
and they just, you know,
yes.
They have a look on their face and don't like it.
All you got to do, God will give you, I started to give you an answer, but I don't want to do that. The Lord will tell you what to do. Look at our assignment in Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. In other words, this was a prearranged meeting, okay? He couldn't email them, so he had to tell them ahead of time. I mean, we're way ahead of them today. I mean, no. He said, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but what's them last three words?
But some doubted.
Now, who is he? Who is it? This is the disciples. These are the guys that's been following around for 3 years. But some doubted. Does that sound like some of us? If we really, really, really meant what we say when we say, I love you, Jesus, we wouldn't be doubting. We wouldn't be afraid. And by the way, God has a message for you to share. May I tell you what it is? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's good enough. Not only that, you can say, he loves you too. whoever you're talking to, no matter who they are or what they're doing. But we have backed up from witnessing to the point we joined these some that doubted. We easily talk about trucking. I mean, we can go in there and sit around a table and almost green fog come up in the air, you know, talking about how fast them trucks will run, you know. And this time of the year, went off the mount with no brakes, solid ice, no problem. Right. I mean, you know, we talk about trucking because that's part of our life. That is our life, and it is mine. It always will be. I may not be in the truck, but it's still in me. And I have no desire to take it out. I really don't. If I love God and study God as much as I have trucking, I can talk about Him just as easily, just as normally. Don't you think? It could be baseball, football. I mean, you know, wherever our heart is. So why not witness? Why not? Well, let's look at a couple of reasons. Well, let me finish this commission. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the truck drivers, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Well, I changed the word there.
Watch out now.
He said, you know, he said, all nations, our nation is the nation of trucking. And by the way, there's over 5 million of you in the United States alone. 5 million. If we had if I could name a country, let's say Haiti or any country in the world, and say there's 5 million people there waiting for you to go share the gospel. And I can arrange it where you can do that and not cost you a dime. Most people say, well, shoot, let's get on a plane and go. Well, I got news for you. There's 5 million truck drivers all around you and don't cost you a dime to minister to them. In fact, that rack is loaded with tracks back there, and the reason there's a lot of them is so you'll take them with you. They don't do anybody any good on the wall of this chapel. They need to be in your hands, not laying around. Don't put them on shelves. That don't do good. That'll do some good. But it's much better when you're talking to somebody. See, you got some backup, so to speak. Find you one that, you know, you kind of like. And just when you're talking, give it to them. One is my favorite and a great favorite of a lot of people is he would have driven an 18-wheeler. There ain't no driver on earth that can't take that and identify with it, right? And I often make a joke about it. You know, the lawyers think he would have been a lawyer, but I personally think he'd have been driving a truck. In fact, he drove my truck quite a bit. And you can identify with that. How many times you almost had a wreck? I mean, it was sure going to happen, but it didn't. That's when God took over. That's when God, but if we tell him enough to get out, he will. Hello? If we shun him enough, he won't bother you. He promised us that. The Bible said, my spirit will not always strive with mankind. Why not witness? Real bottom line is we don't want to. Mark 16:15, where it's got the Great Commission, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I did my spell check come up when I was typing that. You know, I don't know who does spell check. He ain't from the South, I know that. But but spell check says where it said all, it checked that and I thought, A-L-L, what's wrong with that? And what it says was the entire. Think about it. All the world. Spell check says the entire world. Now, I probably won't ever get to go to China. I probably won't ever get to go to Russia, and certainly people need to go. But I'm here. My friend Don Farrell is a local pastor, and Don says, start where you are with what you got. How simple can you get? Start where you are with what you got. What have I got? I got a truck. Got camaraderie. People know, right? We used to have a friend that you'd say, "How you doing?" And if things were really, really, really bad, he'd say, "Well, God is about to do a miracle in my life." He would never say, "I'm down and out," or, you know, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He would say, "God is about to do a miracle in my life." And I said, "Well, things must be pretty bad then." In other words, you're going to hear negative all the time. And some people start running the company now, and I feel like saying, "Well, they must not be too good. They hired you." I don't say that. I just think it. Okay? The company is not bad. The company is not your problem. It's the enemy. I tell husbands all the time, "She's not your problem." I tell the wife, "He's not your problem. It's the enemy." We got a common enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one way he does that is with our silence, with our lack of standing up. And again, I'm not talking about quoting the Bible. I'm not necessarily doing that. Just be a witness. Acts 1:8, turn there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Not only does he call us to do it, he never calls us to do something without equipping us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, probably one of the most, by the way, misused verses in the Bible. Certainly misinterpreted. You know, I believe the Bible is absolutely true. I believe it says what it means, and it means what it says. Don't need to work on it. It's plain. If he said jump, just jump. You know, just believe it. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall, what? Be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." Well, our version says to the end of the earth. Notice something. He said, "You shall be my witnesses. You shall be witness to me in Jerusalem." Why did he say Jerusalem first? That's where they were. He didn't say go to Samaria and work your way back.
Point one.
Nothing wrong with going to Samaria. But why leave Jerusalem? Okay? Why leave here until God moves you from here? Right now you're driving a truck. And by the way, lots of times drivers sometimes, well, not a lot, but every now and then, somebody say, "I wish I could be in full-time ministry like you are." And I say, "You are. The company's paying you to do it."
That's right.
You don't have to go raise your income. All you got to do is get the truck, go down the road. Where's my audience? All over the place. Amen. CB does mean Christian broadcasting, don't it? Does to me. And I didn't come up with that, by the way. Big Uncle did. He's in heaven today. Great big guy. He runs 650 watts with his. He says, "When I speak, E.F. Hutton will listen." You seen the sissy track?
Yeah.
If I didn't know better, I'd say that was Joe Weird. Right, honey? I mean, it fits him to a T. But he was just bold for God. Used to be a hitman with the family.
He was bold for Satan, so he was bold for God.
That's right. He said, "The least I can do is be equally bold." Now, whatever your vice was, or maybe is, whatever dominates your life, you can just turn that around and let God have that same amount of your life and do wonders through you, like Billy Graham never hoped to. And if you know me, you know Dr. Graham, one of my heroes, absolute top of the shelf. But see, he didn't call Dr. Graham to come to truck stop. He called you and me. Your pastor is probably not going to go to truck stop. He's busy pastoring the church. But he called us. He put us in Jerusalem. He put us here. Like it or lump it, some of you wish you wasn't. I know. I've had more than a few say. I had a guy walk up to me one day, a driver, and he said, "Why am I driving a truck?" I feel a little silly that day. I said, "I play you silly game. Why are you driving a truck?" But seriously, he was a pastor. A successful church. Nothing wrong. God let him resign the church and go to truck driving school. He ain't never been around a truck in his entire life. He had no desire to get in a truck. His thought of a big rig is a Toyota with a 5-speed. God put him on the road because he said, "Your will be done in my life," basically. "Use me for your glory." Well, he thought building this church. Now he's building the church. Amen? We are the church. We may have different denominational tags. Acts 1:8. He gives us the power to do what he called us to do. It'd be silly for the company to dispatch you to go pick up a load, take it to somewhere, and not give you a truck. Right? God don't do that either. He invests his Holy Spirit in us. What did Jesus tell the disciples? "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a leader. I'm going to send you power." Acts 1:8, there he is. The day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit started his reign, if you please, started his time. He's the third party of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all three God, and don't worry about it. You can't figure that out. Nobody else can. How three can be one and one is three, that's right over my little head.
We're all in good company.
But I receive it because the Bible says, amen? I don't have to, as one guy said, I don't understand all I know sometimes. So that's about it. Why don't we witness? One reason is, turn to John chapter 12, verse 42. One reason we don't witness is we're afraid of what people might think of us. God forbid. God forbid that I would be so ashamed of Jesus. Think about it. He said one place, "If you're not for me, you're against me." So there's no middle ground. Had a businessman one time ask me, "Preacher, what do you do with us fence straddlers?" I said, "I got one word for you, sir. There is no fence. You're not straddling anything. Cut and dry. If you're not for me, you're against me." Another place he said, "If you're not against me, you're for me." So it works both ways. You're either with Jesus or with the devil. There's no middle ground. You're going to heaven or going to hell. It's your choice. Your choice. Hell's just as hot as it's ever been, but personally, I don't care where it's at because I'm not going. Amen. I got me a ticket. Anybody been to Hunts Point Market?
New York? Yes, I have.
You had to. I tell you, laugh. That's as close as I want to get. No, I was kidding.
There are worse.
I don't have to go there anymore. I don't have to go to hell because I made a choice. And neither do you. John chapter 12 is the story of an old boy named Herod. Herod was all about the people. Well, let's read a minute. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43 said, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." That's Jesus, right? Many people believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus is saying, "Tell me one more time you love me. Been married to that woman back there for over 43 years. I'm not ashamed of her anywhere. And ladies, no offense to you, but she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. I love her with all of my heart. Ain't nobody going to say nothing about her in my presence. The old brother Clyde used to say, I backslide and whipped the tar out of you. That was my pastor. And he was probably joking, but you know what I'm saying. I would defend her. I defend my children. I defend you. Because you're my family.
Would you do it physically?
You're not going
to. If you had it right?
Sorry?
You would do it physically too if you had it right?
Well, yes. I hope I'll never have to find out.
Yes, I think that's what's going to have to come to.
But you know what? It said many believed in him. How many people, if you talked, said, I believe in God? What? Probably 90% or more. I believe in God. Well, that ain't enough. That ain't enough. Many people believe it goes straight to hell. They believe there's a God. They acknowledge there is a God, a supreme being, a whatever they want to call it, right? Higher power. What's some other names that we've heard, you know, used for God?
Yahweh.
But have you received him? You see, a lot of people know this woman, but I know her. She's my wife, right? Jesus is my Savior. He can be yours also. But he won't have a relationship where we're afraid. And it said, you know, old Herod, like I say, he wanted to be friends to everybody. He wanted to please everybody. Being God's person won't make you a hero sitting at the counter in there. Sometimes I sit there and drink coffee where you were sitting this morning. The greatest philosophers in the world sit right over there. Believe me. I'm trying to get some of them to run for president. Our troubles would be over. But no, seriously, you know, we can get in this conversation and talking, and that's okay. But are we controlled by the conversation, or do we control the conversation? Do they know I'm a Christian when I leave there? And again, not preaching at them, not quoting scripture. But I get up in the morning and say, Lord, one of the things I pray just about every morning is, Lord, you know what I'm going to get into today? I don't. So prepare me. Prepare my mind so that when I come into this situation, I'll respond properly. Do I do it every time? Absolutely not. Do I respond the right way every time? No. Because I'm like you, I'm too busy sometimes. Too big a hurry. I've been chewed out more than a few times for that. Well, excuse me.
You gotta give it all.
Yes.
Oh, 43. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Thank you, dear. John 12:42-43. Let's read it together. Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's bad. Whew, that's bad. Churches get caught up in that. Yes, I know that. Yes, there's social clubs called churches. I know that. I know there's restaurants that serve rotten food, but I keep going to others, obviously. I don't miss many meals, you know. And I've got food poisoning just like some of you have from restaurants, right? Did I quit going? Did I quit eating? No. All right? I may not go to that one again. All right, you hear what I'm saying? Yes, there's a lot of fault with the body of Christ, but it's the greatest thing going. And we need Jesus to lead us. Acts 12 talks some more about Herod. Turn to Acts chapter 12 with me. I got to get going here. Acts chapter 12. Talks about Herod again. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. He's up to it again. Trying to please the people, right? All about popularity. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, see, the Jews then were against the church, against the Christians. He wanted them on his side. I want to be with the majority. Not necessarily who's right, but I want to be with the majority. All of us want to be popular. I mean, hey, nobody in his right mind wants to be the oddball that nobody likes. I mean, hey. But we need to decide what really matters. Who do we want to please? And it came back to haunt him, by the way. If you drop down to, let's see, in chapter 12, drop down to verse 21. Acts 12, 21. Are you there? So on a certain day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration, that gave him a speech. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." See, they're just building him up, building him up, building him up. This is a God. In the Bible, that's a little g, by the way. That's not God, it's a God. Be sure you know that. Verse 23, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Yeah. That don't even sound good. He was literally eaten by worms. Now look at the last verse there, verse 24. What happened there? Somebody read verse 24.
But the word of God grew and multiplied.
But the word of God grew and multiplied. Somebody kept it going against all odds. And some of you drive a truck through situations and weather like we're getting into now in the winter against all kind of odds. Anybody here been driving over 10 years? Over 15? 20? Gosh.
40.
Thank you. I'm not so old after all. But you, sir, and you, ma'am, have defied the law of averages, really. That you're still driving. That you haven't crashed and killed yourself. Really? Think about it. And the only way you do that is God's protection.
Amen.
As you said earlier, it wasn't you. It was God. I remember going, headed towards, that's right, the picture we have on the back of all of our chapels and up there. It come from this one, by the way. It showed that hand under the truck. Anybody ever notice that hand? He ran off the road and the hand caught him. God is there. If you allow him to be. If you welcome him. If you invite him. Herod might have done, you know, he might have harassed the church, but he didn't stop it. The enemy attacks the church. And again, when I say the church, I'm talking about us. In fact, let me say this for the 100th time. You as drivers are the greatest evangelists the country has ever known. You cover more ground in a week, especially those that run 48 states, run cross country. You talk to more people in a year than a preacher or so-called preacher ever hoped to. Question is, what are you telling them? What are you saying?
You encourage them in God. In
we get the word in us. Matthew 12, 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? Trucking? Yeah, that's fine. You know, eating? No, forget that. But if Jesus is in my heart, it's going to come out my mouth. The Word of God. God's work is going to get done. He's going to get it done. And if you and I don't do it, we're the one that loses. Even in Herod's case, it said the word of God just kept growing, right? It's going to happen. Another thing is, Satan puts fear into a person to keep them from witnessing. Look at 1 Peter 5:8 real quick with me. 1 Peter 5:8 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9. Resist him. But not just resist him. What did he say? That's right. If you're not standing in the Word, the devil will mow you down like a big lawnmower.
Amen.
He's not afraid of Joe Hunter. He's not afraid of Christy Case. He's not afraid of Billy Graham. He's not afraid of Charles Stanley. What bothers him is what's in them. Paul said, "Not I, but Christ that lives within me." He's not afraid of me, but at the name of Jesus, he must bow. And he will. He has to. He don't have any choice. Now, look at Luke 10:19 real quick. Luke 10:19. I want you to see this. I want for you to turn there. Somebody tell me the page number.
70.
If you got, by the way, I meant to mention, we're reading out the New King James. Yours might be a little bit different. I don't know what you may have of your own, but
I got the original.
No, you don't, but we'll talk about that later.
But what I'm saying is not the King James Version. It's not the New King James, but the King James Version.
You got about the third one, but that's not the original. We'll go from here. Look what it says in Luke 10:19. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said what? "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents." What is serpent symbolic of? That's right. Satan, and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. What did he say next?
"And nothing shall by any means hurt you."
Wow.
"And Jesus Christ,
why not?
You rebuke him."
What? Wait a minute. I know you want to help me. I'm the same way. If I got all the power over the enemy, if he can't beat me, what am I worried about? Super Bowl is coming up, right? I love football. You know what my dream would be, I guess, to be on a quarterback on a team with an offensive line that can't be penetrated. Nobody can get through that line. But you can do what you want to with the ball, right? They can't get to you. Some of them, you know, they talk about dancing around in the pocket. I mean, he's cool. Everybody up there, that's where we are as Christians, if we just realize that. We've got an offensive line of angels standing across in front of us. That's there at our bidding, by the way. That's another teaching. The angels are there for you to command, to tell them what you want them to do. They'll protect you. Does that mean you won't never get shot at? No. Does that mean you won't never get hit? No. But it means you'll win in the long run. We're in it for the long haul. Look at here. It says he'd given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. He'd given us power over all the power of the enemy. Then he says in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because of what? Because your names are written in heaven. Because you're born again." That's what it's about. Not how powerful a person in Christ I am. When people start talking about that, it scares me, you know. What all I'm doing for God. Sometimes it makes me want to say, and I get a little, you know, sarcastic. God sure is lucky you come along. No, I'm lucky God come along. I'm blessed that he come along. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm 23:4, he says, "I will fear no evil." Period. I will fear no evil, he said. So the next time you're thinking about witnessing, remember, it's not you. It's him. I'm not responsible for the outcome. If you ever read the story of the sower, I believe it's in, I wrote it down somewhere. And Matthew 13, that's it. Sometime when you get a chance, read the story of the sower. And think about this as you read it. That's been preached on 1,000 times, and I love it. Think of the sower. You know, it says some seed fell on stony ground. They just died. Some fell along the path. The birds came and ate them. Some fell into thorns and bushes, grew up, choked them out. Not once did it say the sower said, well, rats, I'm not doing any good, so I just quit. He kept on sowing. That's right. We are sowers, not growers. Amen. It's not our responsibility to do anything but put the word out. And sometimes, and I've been there, I know the feeling, sometimes it feels like you're not doing anything whatsoever. We got a letter from a lady truck driver, and she had listened to one of our CDs about witnessing, and she, I hope she gets this one, because I'm going to write her a letter, and I laughed because it's so terrible what happened. She decided, okay, today, something to this effect, today I'm going to witness. I'm going to be nice. I said, you know, some of our ministry may be just saying something nice to somebody. It may be opening the door for somebody at the truck stop instead of running through it and letting it close in their face. You ever notice that? I mean, somebody be 3 steps behind you and just turn the door loose. Now, I know there's times when we got to get there. We understand that. It's a long ways from the parking lot to there, so I understand that. There's times when you got to hurry. She got out of her truck, she said, and was walking to the building. Going back to her truck, and she decided to be nice. This driver was coming. She said, good morning. She just said, good morning. You know what he said? You want to take a shower with me?
Yeah.
That's not the first one.
That wasn't the second one.
The first one said, you got nice hips.
Yeah, the first one said, you got nice hips. The second one, she thought, well, that's okay. I'll try it again. The second one said, you want to take a shower with me? So she's thinking,
what have I done? What did I do to...
Yeah. Why did I...
...that person to react to her that way?
She didn't do nothing. Except she was in the evil world. Like I said, we don't always get favorable response. But the seed is planted. The seed is planted. And we've got many, many testimonies over the years in this ministry where you have planted a seed. And it's not per se, but they talk about somebody talked to me, and long time later, they gave their life to Christ. And a lot of people get saved in these chapels are a result of what you are doing on the roof. You don't even know you did it sometimes. But it's because a seed got planted. Why witness? One is we're commanded to. Number two, we're equipped to. And number three, we ought to want to. I mean, we've got the best thing that ever happened. It's Jesus Christ. I was so, like I say, I was just so thrilled last night to hear my brother and his son. Before, some of these people that were there last night had worked with my brother for 30 plus years. They knew him when, if he opened his mouth, cussing's coming out. I mean, that's automatic. I loved him, but I almost cringed. Like if some of y'all were there, I'd almost, you know, I don't know what he's going to say. Because it wouldn't matter. But you know what? That same thing has turned around. Now it don't matter who you are, what you think. Let me tell you about what God. He got right up himself. He was the last speaker, of course, being at his party. And he said, what Joe talked about me, he said, what he said is right. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he said, you'll never be happy. His son had said the same thing. In fact, his son said before he quit, he said, I make less money now than I ever have. I'm more happy than I've ever been.
Amen.
We get things out of kilter. We get them out of
context.
That's right. Thank you. Out of context. Things are get wrong. And one is we live in an evil world. We hear evil all the time. We hear profanity all the time. And again, remember, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We hear that all the time. That's going in our heart. If we're not careful, it's going to, before you know it. And the reason is, it's a spiritual principle in play. Yeah.
Possibly the influence of Satan could be related to global warming.
It probably would be. I want to know where he was at 2 weeks ago when it was 13 degrees here. It wasn't no Georgia warming, that's for sure. But listen, I want to close. I know we're running close on time. And I respect you for coming in, and I want to... I'm not going anywhere. We close this and start another... No. We're going to be around. But I want to close out like I always do. I want to pray a simple little prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. Could be somebody in the room that God has been dealing with in some area. And you don't have to say what it was, because it don't matter. It don't matter where we were. Where we're going is all that counts. We can't change 1 minute of the past. Oh, how I'd like to sometimes. All of us can identify with that. It's something I would never do that again. But we can't go back. We can't undo the hurt we've done. But we can start today. That's why God, I think that's why he called it born again. Start all over. You remember the conversation Nicodemus had John chapter 3. He said, you must be born again. Of course, his logic kicked in. He said, well,
Nicodemus,
how can I be born again? How can I go back in my mother's womb? Well, we're talking about a spiritual rebirth, of course. Today, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, if you do that, based on the authority of the Word of God, I guarantee you he'll forgive you. Start a whole new life today. And if you're that person in here, you and God know it, and that's all that counts. Well, we pray this prayer. If you pray it from your heart, best you know how, mean it as much as you know how, God's going to save you and change your life today. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need that. You're right. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. But just pray it together in case the person beside you is the one that really needs to or really wants to. I don't believe in embarrassing nobody. So would you join me with your heads up? Eyes open. New way to pray. I said many times, if you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. That ain't a good thing. I might be coming the other way. But in all seriousness, we can pray anytime, anywhere, just talking to God. That's what prayer is. Talking to God and then listening. Then listening. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you.
In the name of
Jesus,
I ask you, Lord,
to forgive my sins,
come into my heart,
and help me to be
the
kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
I'll read your word,
I believe your word,
and I receive your word.
Your word says,
when I confess my sin,
you forgive me.
I thank you for that,
and I receive that forgiveness.
I am now
a
born again
child of the Most High God.
Give me strength
to share that
wherever I go.
In Jesus' name,
amen.